Welcome to the Football Fill-In, everybody. The Premier League is so, so beautiful, isn't it? We've got managers contemplating changing their goalkeeper, like mid-game. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? We've got games getting won in like the 110th, 111th. It's pathetic. And Manchester United lose again. Are they becoming just a little bit Spursy? It's a Football Fill-In. Right, we're going to start off, everybody. We've got loads of games to talk to. We're going to talk about a few of them, but we have to start here. Watto, goalkeeper coach Dave Watson, give me your perspective on Aaron Ramsdale getting dropped for Arsenal at the weekend.
Look, we've seen that Ray has been in and Arteta were eventually probably going to make this change. I think on the back of Ramsdale playing for England, it's a real dagger to the heart.
And they beat Man United the other week as well, by the way.
He's been a top goalie for them. Obviously, they fell short last year, but he was one of the reasons they were up there. I think towards the end of the season, certainly he did drop off a little bit. Whether he thinks Raya obviously can play and maintain possession of the ball and, you know, sustain attacks and all the tactical tweaks when the goal is high, you can push a extra player in and he plays like a centre-half and they're trying to really maintain attacks, get through the lines, get through the levels. He obviously thinks Ray is better than that. But a real big call, I thought, yesterday. Obviously, if you go back here, Everton beaten 1-0, Dyche's first game, set piece. And you know it's one of them kind of games going to Goodison Park. But he took Rambo out and he put Ray in. And he thought he could obviously deal with it. And in the end, he's justified to get a 1-0 win. But he didn't have a lot to do in the game. If truth be told, Arsenal were a class above. And I think Aaron Ramsdale will be hurting bad today.
What do you make of it, Mark? Because you kind of called this a little while ago, didn't you? When Arsenal signed David Raya, you said he'll be Arsenal number one, he will.
Yeah. I mean, thoughts with Ben. I know you've got a good relationship with Rambo. It must be like losing your puppy. but no, look, I agree. I was watching, obviously the cameras always do this. They go to the player that's been dropped, don't they? And I thought psychologically, I did want to ask you two, how do you feel as a goalkeeper? Because it's not. He's just played for England. He's just beat Man United. He comes back from the international break. He's watching Raya at one end have his Arsenal shirt. Yeah. And then he's obviously can't get Pickford out, who's in the Everton shirt. And I'm like, it must be really, really difficult for him. But I think Raya's better than Ramsdale. And I think the challenge for Ramsdale now is to, I think he's a good geek. I think he should be England number one. But I think that Raya is a brilliant goalkeeper. And if you look at all of the things he did last year, whether it's on the ground, saves in the air, I think there was he had nothing to do yesterday, but I don't think it wasn't like it was Luton at home. I don't think he's put him in going, this will be an easy game. It could have been a tough game. There was times where he was like so high out of his box as well. Ramsdale's just not going to do that comfortably. It's not what he's all about. So I personally think he should go with Raya as goalie, and it's really harsh on Ramsdale. What I fear he's going to do is this nonsense of, oh, I felt like I wanted to change my goalkeeper after 70 minutes last season, and I might do that, or I might change it week to week. I think that's a terrible idea. You've got to go with the number one.
What do you make of this, Watto? Because I heard him talking. I heard Mikel Arteta talking about all this and contemplating changing in game to suit what's in front of him there, and I'm just thinking, This is genius.
Could be the new world.
This is either genius or you have lost your marbles.
Yeah, it's insanity or it's genius. Yeah. I've always been aware of the situation, as we all have. You can change your goalie for a penalty shootout and things like that. Is it now becoming you want to be so tactical and so in front of the opposition, you're second-guessing certain things? Look, if you're playing a certain team, and like you're playing Man United away and Weghorst comes on up front and maybe they put Maguire up front and you think Raya's not got the physical capability if they're just pumping balls in the box because Man United are just going for it in the last 10 minutes. Has the game evolved enough now that you've got a different profile goalie on the bench to put on in that last 10 minutes a Nick Pope kind of physical? Do you do that in the last 10 minutes? I think you might be really overthinking the game here. Yeah.
I don't think fans would adapt to that well as well. I think that's the biggest problem. I think fans would go,
But I understand outfield players come on, they warm up and they do certain things. A goalie, to come on and be ready for that moment, if you put Nick Pope on, for instance, in this situation, or you came on as sub, and they expect you to dominate your box in that last 10 minutes, and all you've done is jog up and down the side, you've not caught a ball, you've not taken a cross, you're not sure of position. There's so much pressure.
In the bottom corner, you know.
There's so much pressure on you to come in and change the game.
Yeah.
But then you're changing your game because they're saying, look, you're the man who can deal with these crosses, so you better get on there and you better start coming out and you've got to come and deal with these crosses. You've been sat on the bench for 60, 70, 80
with
minutes.
With crosses, right, David James was famous for it. He would come for absolutely everything, but he would almost get so bored in games, yeah, that he would make work for himself. Mm. So he would come searching for crosses that weren't there. He didn't need to come for them. And then a mistake would happen, a goal would go in. And that is my worry with all of this. You need to get your bed in from the very first minute of the game. You start the game, you find your feet into the game, you might make a nice little save, it might be a nice little kick, you might take a nice comfy cross, and then the next one comes, you think, yeah, I'm going to come for this bad boy, I'm going to come and dominate. But to come on and be thrust on, you know what it's like, Dave. If you're sat on the bench as a goalie, right, the last thing you want is to come on that pitch. I promise you this, right? Yeah.
When you see the guy go down in the last 10 minutes and you've been sat on your ass for 80 minutes and it's raining and it's windy and they expect you to come on and change a game, it really is incredible thought process. But the one thing about goalkeeping is the best don't chase the game.
Nope.
You play the game. But if they're putting you on as a special teams goalie because they want you to come and deal with the balls in the box, your whole mindset's skewed.
Like you say, isn't it? You start coming for stuff that you wouldn't do.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, listening to you and you know my experience of goalkeepers at United, and that is the best ones are the ones that are assured and confident and know the game, and they know, I'm not going to go for that.
Yeah.
I am going to go for that. And like you say, it's either insanity or genius with Arteta, because I've never known it work with two good goalkeepers. I worry that the next game Ramsdale comes into, he's going to start coming out of his box because Raya does that. He's going to start doing stuff that he thinks he needs to do to win his shirt. Then Raya's going to come in and go, well, I need to do this. And ultimately, the worst thing for me is, every goal, I've seen Alisson that have three or four games where he makes a mistake, he still Klopp's number one because that's my number one. If Raya makes a mistake, is Ramsdale coming in? Because the fans will expect that. And if Ramsdale makes a mistake, you're out, Raya's in. I don't like it.
Any goalkeeper has to have the faith of the manager. And when you've got the faith of the manager, you know you don't want to make a mistake, but you know that inside the dressing room, he might be a little bit upset with you, but outside that four walls, he's going to back you and you're his number one. Mm. And it makes you play differently. When you know that you've not got the faith of the manager, or we've spoke before where you make a mistake, he's in, you make a mistake. You cannot play in goal like that because you have to play how you want to play. And we talk about, is Ramsdale going to go in for the Champions League games? Well, ultimately, Champions League games, a different game again. Yes, it's the Premier League's evolved into real possession football, but Champions League, Arsenal are going to dominate whoever they play, and the goalie's going to be playing high out in the areas again, and I think they'll stick with Raya because they're going to dominate the ball, they're going to want him to be in a high position, they're going to try and get overloads wherever they feel that they can overload the opposition, and short, sharper passes with him being higher, and that's where they'll take the game. And unfortunately, I don't believe Ramsdale's going to get a chance in the Champions League.
This is what we spoke about on This Is Football earlier today, didn't we? We spoke about the big game. The big one is the Tottenham game next weekend, the North London derby.
Yeah.
Whoever gets picked for that game is, for me, will be Arsenal's number one.
I think it's Raya, because I think Ramsdale plays against PSV at home. Because it's a gimme.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's at home, you can play in that one.
Yeah.
And I think Raya plays that. And I actually think Arteta's playing a game. I think Raya is his number one. I think he knows everything you two have spoken about. And I think it's just publicly, it's up for grabs, this, that and the other. I think Ramsdale becomes the cup goalkeeper. I think Raya's going to become the important goalkeeper. And I feel really bad for Ramsdale because I think he should be England number one. And he's probably not expected this. If he'd have known about it in May, he might have been looking to do something about it in relation to, well, I'm not going to put up with that, it's the Euros, but he should be England number one, and now he's probably in a position where, you know, how much football is he going to play?
Well, it's a big year when you want to be an England goalie. When
Who would you go for? I'd go Raya, obviously.
I would stick with Rambo. I love David Rambo. This whole situation...
I like Ramsdale, it's ridiculous. I hate
the whole thing. I do, I hate the whole thing because it's just completely unnecessary and it's taking column inches that don't need to be... And if people are talking about when they don't need to be talking about. David Raya should be playing in the Premier League, yeah? Aaron Ramsdale should be playing in the Premier League. But Aaron Ramsdale works at Arsenal. It works that way. That's the way it should be. He did it it last season. He was brilliant. His team of the season in the Premier League. Just
but that's why I said when he brought Raya in.
It's asking for trouble.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's asking for trouble. And I love David Raya. I want him as my goalie, David Raya, because I think he's fantastic. He should, like I say, he should be playing for a top team in the Premier League.
They both should be
but
playing.
But so should Rambo.
But it causes
Rambo
problems
deserves
now.
It.
Yeah, for sure, he deserves it. But it causes problems now at Arsenal for Ramsdale and Arsenal and Arteta. In the dressing room, Ramsdale's a big character for sure. He's not in, but it's a big year with England.
Yeah.
He can't stay on the sides if he has got any aspiration of playing in that tournament. It's finished already for him.
Let's move on. We could do a podcast about this. We could do a podcast talking about just the goalkeeper dynamics of how this will work between David Raya and Ramsdale.
Well, you still can because it's going to rumble on, isn't
it? It's so interesting. It really is. Just quickly, just talk about the Arsenal game before we move on. They battered Everton, didn't they? Everton was a bit of a sorry state, in all honesty, weren't they?
I don't get it. I've said this before to Everton fans. They're so loyal. They were loyal with Lampard. They'll be loyal with Dyche. But you watch De Zerbi, you watch Silva at Fulham. I mean, you were talking about Exeter that you were watching at the weekend.
Even Unai Emery.
Teams play good football at all levels of football now. Look at Goldbridge Bowl in the Sidemen charity game. But, you know, I watched Everton yesterday for 70 minutes. Their whole plan is to keep that clean sheet. As soon as Arsenal score, we get a 20-minute game where Everton have got to attack and it's a bit more open. And I was like, if I'm an Everton fan, like, you can't go into games. I know it's Arsenal, but they do it against everyone.
They're at home, by the way, though.
They are at home, Everton. Look, they're going to be fighting relegation, aren't they, playing Dyche Bowl. Yeah. You may as well be fighting relegation with a coach that wants you to play football. That's my motto.
Yeah. Arsenal
were very good. They deserved to win it. I liked the fact. Look, we're talking about Ramsdale. I thought the dropping of Havertz was bigger because the balance of the midfield with Vieira in there worked a lot better.
The offside goal, by the way, Martinelli. Did you hear Gary Neville? I'm with him though. There's guesswork going on here.
What did I say?
it looks, but the camera angles are so poor.
Yeah.
It didn't look as though it were offside. Obviously, with the rules. Because it's come off their guy and all this.
Well, that's it for me. I don't think it should be off for that. I don't care about the lines because we had that with Garnacho. Probably are guessing it. They were guessing it with fucking Hoyland as well. But when the Everton player sends it in completely the wrong direction.
I think it's Gabriel, isn't it? He's trying to play it sideways. So that surely shouldn't count as the pass that's trying to be offside, made for an offside decision.
I couldn't believe it, but apparently that is the rule.
It is the rule. But like it just seemed really crazy in that one moment, and then when you looked at the angle, everything just seemed to go against.
In a better goal, better game if that had gone in, and then because it's halfway through.
Because it opens the game.
Yeah, without doubt. I want to talk about some of the other title contenders for the Premier League this season. A few surprise ones. I don't think many people would have put Spurs in there, especially losing Harry Kane in the summer. Brighton just going around bashing everybody right, left, and centre, and even Liverpool. Off to a fantastic start. What do you make of these the teams that I've just mentioned and the start they've had to the season?
Well, we talk about the league, and it's an incredible league, isn't it? I think that's the nice thing, that we can sit here and talk about proper football and the league's really intense. Brighton, to be fair, made Man United look ordinary after 10 minutes. I think Spurs, under Ange, it's incredible football what they're doing. High press, high energy, and they just look to play
relentless
football.
Relentless.
The fit for 90 minutes or 115 minutes to beat Sheffield United. Hey, look, everybody expects them to beat Sheffield United quite comfortably. And they should have done, if truth be told. But they just kept going. And ultimately, they got the win and they're up there on 13 points.
Quickly, are Spurs a better team without Harry Kane?
I can't ever say that they're
Do you think they're a better team or do you just think they're...
I think they'd be a better team with Kane.
With him in the team, yeah?
Yeah.
They're a different dynamic because the way that they press, Kane wouldn't be able to press like that.
Yeah.
Certainly for 90 minutes. So I understand there is a bit of balance with it, but there's no way he wanted to lose Harry Kane. With him in the team, who knows maybe what they'd have achieved this year.
He's too good a finisher because they press like that.
When they get that ball high, and they're just, it's only one pass on transition, and it's game over.
Liverpool, what you made of their starts this season?
I think they're really impressive. I watched the Wolves game and Wolves were brilliant against United, and they should have beat us, and they were brilliant first half, but they just don't... I mean, Neto was so good. Yeah. I think he's created more chances than anyone this season, but I don't think Wolves are going to define their season again by losing to Liverpool. I hope Gary O'Neill keeps his job because they are losing a lot when they play well, but second half, he changed it, and they've got the quality... I think their midfield is a brand new midfield to settle in. It's a bit like Spurs. It's brilliant what Klopp's done. few defensive problems as well. But they were thorough in the second half, and they're right up there. And I think that they've got a big game against Spurs in a couple of weeks as well.
I think, did you see, if you were the Wolves manager, I think he will have quite a lot to say to Jose Sarr. Did you see the second goal? So it's 1-1 at this point. Jose Sarr gets the ball, tries to do a real quick kick out of his hands, tries to do one of those side volleys over the top, leaves it
just
short.
Just the Robertson goal.
Yeah, for the Robertson goal. Leaves it short, they break, they come straight back on it and put it in. And as a goalkeeper, you'll be thinking, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing?
But you've got to realise, it's the state of the game, isn't it?
You're playing against Liverpool.
Liverpool, it's 1-1, 85 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 1-1, and he's trying to... Yeah, hey, look, if it comes off. But how is it? How often does it come off? You play the perfect side on volley, he gets in and scores a goal. I think you've got to take the game and play the stats, slow it down, get in shape,
try and
stay with what we've got here. Tries the kick. Ultimately, Robertson picks it up, lays into Salah as a moment. And ultimately, he runs in. It's crazy how you can score that goal, to be honest. And as a goalie, it's as bad as making the catastrophic mistake that everybody sees.
It's as bad as making one left foot just through the hand.
Because you know what the manager and coach is going to say to you.
Yeah.
So even though the crowd might be thinking, oh, you've been unlucky, you've not... Inside that dressing room, you know what's coming to you because you've cost them the game.
Yeah.
By having that one moment of craziness.
And Mark, Man United, come on, give it to me. Let me know what's going on down there at Old Trafford.
I think that's the magic question everyone wants to know. It's like, it's ridiculous. They had so much momentum last season and they were playing good. I mean, I do think the goalkeeper makes a big difference because, and I do like Onana and the decision's been made. I wouldn't have done it. I would have left it a year because the season was built on a strong defence. It's not going to be a strong defence. I don't care if you put Alisson in goal for Man United. It's not going to suddenly work. It's got to take time. So we're conceding more goals, but we're still not scoring enough goals. Rashford had 12 shots against Brighton and Højlund had 0.
Wow.
Home debut for a new signing, no service. Now, I know the goal that wasn't given, so doesn't count, but I just think United are too one-dimensional. I think everything goes through Rashford. I think in the final third, we panic. It's shots, take people on. It's not looking for the better pass. Whereas you play a team like Brighton, from top to bottom, the club is so well run. Watto was saying off camera, you know, first 15 minutes United had a plan, and then De Zerbi said it himself, you know, they just switched it up. The interesting thing was United had 65% possession until Brighton scored, and then after they scored, Brighton had 65% possession. That says two things. Brighton took control of the game and United's head dropped when they go down. Yeah. That shouldn't have happened. It happens all the time. They got a beating. I said in the summer they're going to get two or three big beatings. They've had one. Their season really doesn't start against Bayern. It starts against Burnley. They've got a run of games where they need to try and get... And I think they still can get fourth and fifth. I still think fourth and fifth will be open for a long time. I think the first, second and third spots are gone.
Did you see the result coming? Because we did our predictions on This Is Football, didn't we, last week? And I said that Brighton would win that game. Yeah. That was one of the points I got, because I said that Brighton would win that game.
But you're only right because you're right.
No, but it didn't surprise one little bit. I could see that coming. I can see that coming all day long. Like I said, if Man United would have scored first, cool, it's a different game. But I just don't back them to score first. I really don't. I could see Brighton going there and... it going the way that it went, basically. Brighton dominating and just cutting through Manchester United.
I think I'm still living off last year where we were getting those sort of results and we finished third. But there's massive problems in that team. I mean, the style of football, Casemiro looks absolutely dead on his feet. Rashford's only scored 4 in 20. The big players are not turning up. And I don't know why.
Have a little listen to this stat, right? Brighton's squad that played against Man United, £18 million it cost to assemble. As opposed to Man United's 300
million. It's just a well-run club. I tell you what, when the Brighton team came out on Saturday afternoon, I was really confident because the
Newcastle team,
I don't know whether it was injury or whatever, but I thought...
They battered Newcastle and he made 6 changes for this game.
That's incredible. And you think about the players...
in the process of what they're doing behind the scenes as well on the training pitch.
And the players they sell as well. You know, Casido, Trossard scored for Arsenal. That's it. You know, they're so...
Cha-ching!
But I did like Brighton, but as I say, the TikTok, they can piss off.
Okay, before we go to one question go in a minute, Watto, which I'm going to get an actual right answer this week. I've got a calendar year up to date so far. So we're talking January to September. And the reason why we're talking about Brighton, Spurs, Liverpool, these teams as title contenders is because of this table. So flash it up on screen now. if you have a look at this, Man City, obviously, clear and away. Played 27, won 22, drew 2, lost 3. But then it gets a little bit more interesting. So, second position, Arsenal. Third, Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Liverpool, which tells me, back in their mojo, back in their groove. Fourth, Aston Villa. We have not talked about Aston Villa being this kind of like title challengers. And then fifth, Brighton. Sixth, Man United. Seventh, Newcastle. Interesting, that, isn't it?
I think with Villa, they've lost a couple of games, but what? You've lost at Newcastle and yeah. you've lost at Anfield. Wow. You know, how many teams is that going to happen for? They're winning all their other games. And I think it's good for Villa because they were hyped up at the start of the season and I predicted they would lose to Newcastle because they're good at home. And now no one's hyping them, but they're still doing what they were doing last season. Yeah. I think Villa are just cruising through, looking
under
good,
the radar.
Scoring good goals, energy at the end of games.
The fact we haven't spoke about them on the show as being up there as not, I wouldn't say title contenders or title challengers, but definitely top five, top six sort of team this season, without doubt, alongside Brighton's.
Proper team, yeah. I think they'll be close to something. And I think he wants to win some silverware this year. I think he's got a squad there that he thinks can do well in the league, but I think he's going to target the European games.
Yeah, without doubt.
I'll tell you what, though, the big thing for Spurs, and it should have been for Chelsea, but they've completely bottled it. And I think in that league table, they're right down near the bottom.
Chelsea are 16th in this. So there's 23 teams in this calendar year that have been in the Premier League. Chelsea are 16th, which is bonkers. Above them are Bournemouth, Palace, Wolves, Forest, Fulham, West Ham, Brentford.
So you've got West Ham, Brighton, Villa, Liverpool all playing Thursday night football. That could be a problem for them.
When you get to that pre-Christmas schedule and you've got that last Europa League game just before the Christmas schedule, then you're looking and thinking, where are we actually at, boys?
That's the one. Watto, one question, go. Give it to us. Come on, let's see.
We're on, boys. I'm excited for this. The best Quizmaster of the week's back on.
Still 0-0. Pulis is loving it.
Honestly, the score sheet's incredible. Are we ready, guys?
Yeah.
My ears are tuned in finally for this one. Who was England's starting right back at the Japan 2002 World
Cup? Danny Mills. Back of the net. It's 1-0.
You'd been told this question before.
No, I'm just intelligent.
No. Full of integrity.
Danny Mills.
It's my ear at that. I knew Neville was injured and I remember Danny Mills in that World Cup.
That was my era.
The answer is correct, anyway.
Thank you very much.
We get to put one on the scoreboard.
Get in the bin, Pulis. We've got a goal.
I remember watching that World Cup round your house, Tom.
Obviously, too many beers, mate. Too many beers, mate.
I can't. Yeah, that's why I can't remember it. All right, well done.
That's got him worried for the real quiz now. He's like,
I'm always worried for the real quiz. All right, I want to talk about Chelsea, everybody. Crazy money being spent. I think it's nearly £1 billion or something that he spent in total, Todd Boehly. But still, I called them a couple of weeks ago a bit Spursy, Chelsea. I said they're a little bit Spursy for me. I just don't know what they're going to get. I don't feel like the result of the weekend against Bournemouth, I didn't feel like they were going to go and win that game. What is going wrong at Chelsea?
What I like about it is that all the media live right up the arse of Pochettino and say that he's an amazing coach. And he's a good coach, but look at what Ange has done at Spurs. Look at what De Zerbi does at Brighton. Yeah. Chelsea got all those players and Poch cannot get a tune out of them. I think it's a really difficult job, but I do think a different style of coach probably would get more out of them. I think the way Poch wants to play football, if you look at what he did at PSG and what he did at Spurs, and you look at the players that Chelsea have got, it's going to take time. He needs a goal scorer, and he hasn't got a goal scorer. But the team is like, we were on about this, weren't we? It's like a very expensive puzzle, but you haven't got all the bits. They've just thrown it all together.
You've got good bits. Yeah, you've got shiny parts.
Brilliant puzzles.
You've got like little holographic 3D
not the right
parts
one.
And stuff like that, but they don't quite interconnect.
I'm surprised. I mean, looking at the stats, they've won 2 out of 16 away from home.
That's ridiculous.
If you're going to challenge in anything, your record has to be better.
That's relegation form.
Well, it's worse than relegation form, isn't it? Oh. And you would say any other manager in the Premier League would be able to go in at Chelsea and get more than 2 out of 16 away from home. If you're a manager worth your salt, I really like him. I really like what he'd done at his other clubs. I'm surprised. I had him as my dark horse.
I'm
really surprised that he's not got a tune out of this group of players. So whether there is something behind the scenes that we're not sure of, yes, they've got a lot of injury problems, but he's a guy that gels everybody from the top to the bottom together in terms of staff, players, and he is a good coach. Tactically, he normally hits the ground running. I'm not surprised they didn't win at Bournemouth, but I thought he would have been getting a better tune out of that group of players for sure.
I think he's just got too many players. And the scary thing for Chelsea is you look at the start of the season, on paper, Man City would and Arsenal would love it. You know, Bournemouth, Forest, Luton, yeah. West Ham, and obviously Liverpool was difficult. But, you know, they've got, what, 5 points from Bournemouth, Luton, West Ham and Forest. It's, you know what's coming next. You're going to start hitting the... You know, the Villas, and I think they've got Villa next, actually.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. I watched the game on Sunday, and do you know what? They just look like a bunch of kids. For me, it just looked like a bunch of kids that kind of... They've been told how to play as a team, but they're still... And don't get me wrong, I think they're trying and they're doing... But there's no real kind of leadership there. There's nobody like showing the defined way that we're going to play. It all seemed to me like they've got so many young, skillful players, and it's like, just get the ball and run. Just get the ball and run and do it like that. And no, I just didn't... They're just not there. I think they've spent too much money on too many young players.
I think he probably will get there, but I think this season was probably a stretch when you look at the quality of teams in the league and Emery's been at Villa and Liverpool are bouncing back.
But that's why
Man City,
I had him as my dark horse because they'd got no other fixture congestion. He could do the work with the training ground, but then you come back to the squad and... At whatever level you're at, it is a problem, the amount of players he's got. Yes, there's some injury problems at the minute. But what do you do on a Monday morning or a Tuesday, whatever day of the week, obviously match prep's different, but what do you do when you've got 30-odd players?
Yeah.
And if you're going to play 11v11, that's two goalies and 20 outfield players. So what does
still
eight,
got 10
nine,
players.
What do they do?
Yeah, you've got 10 players sat, stood on the sideline, pissed off is what you've
absolutely
got.
And as soon as you double take them out of that 11v11 match, they are double pissed.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't want to be the coach who's got them on the other field neither, because it's a disaster.
Yeah, they'll have to do a shooting session, a running session. But what it tells them is they're not only are they not in the first team,
in the top 22,
they're not even in the second team.
Their week's finished before it started. So if he does any tactical work on a Monday or Tuesday morning, their week's already finished.
Yeah.
So you've got 9, 10, 11 players, and that is difficult for them. In terms of the management of the group, the squad, the training, yes, obviously he's managed big teams and big squads, but it's gone far too far the other way for him. And maybe that is a problem behind the scenes for him.
Well, you know, you look at United with Sancho, £75 million player, £300,000 a week, Solskjaer bought him, Ten Hag doesn't want him, there's a bit of a fallout. The problem Chelsea have got is Pochettino's inheriting players that were bought 5 months ago.
Yeah.
He's got about 7 or 8 Sanchos that were bought for 80, well. 90 million on 10-year... Like, Mudryk is not a Pochettino player. No. He has got to make him work.
Oh, no.
And there's loads of them. Mudryk, Badashil, Madueke. There's just countless players on massive contracts that he's got to work with. I think it's a really tough
job. But as a manager, when you've got... let's just say for easy figures, they've got 10 players all on 8-year contracts. And really, I'm not having 5 or 6 of them. What do I do with them players? You cannot hurt them players. There's nothing you can do or say to them.
They can't
because
sell
they're
them.
Just sat... No, you can't sell them. And they're sat there and some poor bugger of the reserve team coach or the under-23s coach has got to try and work with this array of talent and get a tune out of them.
Well, look, just the calendar year speaks for itself. Like I say, I know it's only January to September so far, but... Chelsea are 16th in this table, 28 games played this calendar year, only 5 wins, 10 draws and 13 losses. It's 24 scored, 35 goals conceded. When was the last time this happened to Chelsea? This was you're talking 25, 30 years ago.
Wouldn't have happened under Abramovich. I know it's not political, is it? It's football. You know, the football running of the club by Abramovich, this would not have happened. You would not spend £1 billion in a year and not buy a bloody striker.
I
predicted that Chelsea would flop this year. And I know you said dark horse, and I can see why. But the reason... They're not going to get relegated, but for Chelsea to finish 7th, 8th, 9th is a flop when you've spent £1 billion. And I just can't see... There's so many clubs better run than them. And we saw it with United and Brighton at the weekend. United are an absolute... mammoth of a football club compared to Brighton. They came to Old Trafford, they played them off the park because they're a well-run club, and Man City are a well-run club, Newcastle are a well-run club. You can't do it on reputation, on money.
At the minute, we're saying that with all the teams that have hit the ground running, they're going to do well to get in the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Without doubt, yeah.
And that's with Ibrox, believe is a really good manager, and they've spent £1 billion.
They get beat by Villa at Stamford Bridge on Sunday.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure. All right, I called them a little bit Spursy. Let's talk about Spurs, because I don't think Spurs are Spursy anymore, right? I want to talk about Ange Ball. he's just breathed a new bit of fresh air, a new lot of fresh air, not only into Spurs, but I think into the Premier League. He has been top class, hasn't he?
Yeah, top class. I love everything about him. Obviously, I've got a close relationship with Joe Hart, and he obviously worked with him closely at Celtic over the last 2 or 3 years, and he spoke really, really highly of him. So I'm not surprised what he's done. He's managed football clubs for a long time, so even though he'd not had Premier League experience, he could manage football clubs. He seems to have been able to deal with the car crash of Daniel Levy running things behind the scenes. That's not affected him. He's wanted to work with the team and put his beliefs and his philosophy in there. And these guys have bought into it without a shadow of a doubt. And they have really hit the ground running.
Look
really
at this surprised. For a stat. Look at this for a stat, Mark. Ange Postecoglou has not lost in any of his last 50 home games. So no matter what team he's been at, he has not lost in 50 home games. That tells me straight away then...
48 of them are probably Celtic, aren't they? I wouldn't lose at home.
Either way, it doesn't matter. What it does is it tells me that he's gone into that dressing room, into those players and gone, no matter what happens away from home, when we're here at this stadium, we make this our home. We make this our fortress. We get the fans on our side. We get everybody rocking. We keep it going until the very, very last kick of the game. And it's exactly what happened on Saturday afternoon as well. This was a massive surprise, this one, for me. Because I'm looking at my live score thing going, this is an absolute coupon buster. This is a coupon buster. Surely this can't happen. Yeah. Go and get 2 quick-fire goals with the last kicks of the game.
It was funny on Twitter because, you know, people were going, Spurs are back. And then it's all getting deleted 8 minutes later. But I think then they've had a good run of fixtures. I think they've had some good results, especially away from home, beat United at home. I'd expect them to beat Sheffield United. Their next two games are Arsenal and Liverpool, and what they do in those. I don't think they can do what West Ham have done and go Man City, Liverpool, then, you know, we'll lose to them. It doesn't really matter. I think Spurs can't lose to Arsenal and Liverpool. Like they might do, but I think if they're going to progress, they've got to go and get something out. And I fancy them. They've got a good chance.
They've got the best chance. They're going into them games with some momentum. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's Sheffield United or whoever. When you score 2 late goals like that, that gives your team some real belief to look at your next fixtures. Ultimately, look, they were head and shoulders above Sheffield United.
40 obviously, shots, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, shots. Sheffield United's shape dictates that they sit in a low block and the waiting, really, for the couple of counter-attack
moments. Foderham made some decent saves to him and some unbelievable time-wasting from him as well.
Well, I thought
that's led, ultimately, to them winning the game, hasn't it, Spurs? Because of the way the time is.
No, your West Brom
days.
Like that.
Your West Brom days, that's when the game got changed. Because of you at West Brom, the game's changed and evolved because
where
you wasted so much time in games. If I were a West Brom fan, I wanted 30 minutes worth of tickets every match back because you're just farting about with a ball behind the goal.
Listen to this shit, right? You don't get how it works, all right? I tell you what.
I know how it works. I've watched you for years.
I'll speed it up, I'll speed it up for you. If I'm Fotheringham, I'll speed it up so Spurs can get on the ball quickly, and they'd have scored 3-4. They'd have got to the 90th minute and they'd have been 4-0 down, all right? The reason why it was 1-0 in the 90th minute and there's 10 minutes of added time is because of his unbelievable... It's a skill, you know. It's a skill.
Oh, you had it, mate. You had it. You had it.
He got booked earlier on, and then the referee was scared to book him later on. Yeah. Kind of thing. But it was world-class, by the way. I'm so proud of you, Fotheringham. Honestly, unbelievable. Great saves.
I'm just delighted the game's evolved and referees are on top of it, and it gives teams
a chance.
He used to tell me to do it.
Fozzie, slow it down. Time waste. You're so good at it. Do it.
Yeah, but that's Birmingham days. When I'm against you at West Brom and there's 30 minutes of the game going every match, I'm like, come on. Kick the ball, give us a chance, mate.
Got the quiz in the minute, everybody. Just want a quick Monday night prediction. It's Burnley versus Nottingham Forest. Burnley still yet to get off the mark. Forest with a couple of decent results, actually. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to go with a draw because I think Burnley are very surprisingly on 0 points. I know they've played a game less than everyone because they missed that Luton game. Yeah. But Forest are playing really well. Brilliant start to the season. Wouldn't be surprised if they won. But I think Burnley have got to get something. Otherwise... another manager's under pressure, so I'm going to go with a draw, but I can see why people might go with that.
Forest have really surprised me. Only got beat at Arsenal and Man United. Both games possibly could have taken something.
Yeah.
A big win at Chelsea and obviously beat Sheffield United at home. I think it's a bigger game for Burnley. We're not having a point yet. But the way the form's gone, I would expect Forest to win, but I think my prediction would be a draw the same. I think Burnley have got to go. They've got to get on the board somehow. So I think tonight's a big night for them.
I'm going to go for a Burnley win on the telly. I think they're going to turn up. Company's going to get them popping. Burnley to get 3 points.
He changes his mind like the weather, you know. That's win, lose or draw, he's got Forest down to win.
But this is but this is exactly how he was with the time wasting with West Brom. He don't know what he's doing when he picks the bloody ball.
I'm a passionate man. I go with my feelings, all right? In the moment, I stay in the moment. I go with my feelings right there and then, all right?
You've had a two-week gap between
you were never going to play short to Craig Dawson, were you, and get the ball back?
God, no chance. Craig, kick it up there. Or actually, you get up there and I'll kick it onto you, all right? Quiz time. Let's go. Right, quiz time. Who won last week, by the way?
Me.
Did you?
Always, yeah.
Anyway, Jamie, you got your 10 bad boys good to go?
Yep, ready to go.
Can't lose to him again, Ben.
Make sure the ears are tuned in, though, Jay, yeah?
Yeah, okay. But this week it is specifically England questions.
We just did you say specifically then, or specifically?
Specifically.
spell the word that you said.
S-P.
Well done.
P-A-C.
You'll win this. He's going to win this because he's played for England.
Come on,
he's probably roommated with most of them. Roommated.
He's got all their phone numbers, Jay. He's got all their phone numbers. Yeah. Anyway, forget, he didn't get the Danny Mills, did you? So maybe not, Mark, you could be on.
I was drunk at the time.
You're an ex-England goalkeeping coach as well, I'm still on this.
Well, there's not many questions about goalies, I'm sure.
And I'm Italian.
You're definitely not.
There's one row Ukraine question as well.
So come on then, let's go.
Which player has won the most FA Cups than any
Ashley
other
Cole.
Player? Correct.
What a start. What a start.
That question didn't even move from your lips before we had an answer.
He needs to do a quick quiz and he's answering like that.
He's won it 7 times, by the way. Paul Robinson, David James, and what other goalkeeper?
Tim Howard.
Went to the 2006 World Cup.
Robert Green.
No.
I know the answer to this.
No.
I know the answer to this. Can I?
2006, Ben Foster?
No,
Scott Carson.
Scott Carson is the correct answer.
I should have waited.
No points. Question 3. Who is the youngest English player in the England squad currently?
Jude Bellingham
is correct.
That was me. That was 2-0-0. 2-0-0.
He's 20 years old.
Say what?
Question 4. What was the first club Harry Kane went on loan to?
Preston.
Whilst being at Tottenham?
Norwich.
No, it's not Preston. It's not Norwich.
MK Dons.
No, it's Leicester. I know this.
No, it's not Leicester Millwall. Either. Nope, it's not Millwall. It is Leighton Orient.
Oh, that's good.
In 2011, he had 18 appearances and 5 goals.
God, he sponsors them, didn't he? He sponsors a shirt.
There we go.
What with? Kane?
I don't know, like his foundation or something.
Beer now.
Is it?
German beer.
You don't do it anymore then.
Question 5. Which nation did England lose to for them not to qualify for the Euros in 2008?
Sweden.
No.
I can see his mouth moving.
No, he's not. He's just telling it to hurry up.
There's not.
9, 8.
I'm going to say
6.
Wally and the Brolly, Croatia.
4.
It was Croatia.
Croatia is correct.
Was it? Wally and the Brolly. No, he did not say that. I promise you, he did not say that.
I saw a mouth.
He's not.
You be honest behind there.
I promise you. It's a Wally in the Brolly. I don't think I was involved in that. But it was the rainy one where he had Steve McLaren at the Brolly.
And who won the goal? Scotty Carson.
Yeah, Scotty Carson. Oh, he had a bad one as well.
That 3-0.
Yeah. 3-0-0.
So the game finished 3-2. Scott Carson was in goal and he made a mistake for the first goal. Steve McLaren was then sacked the next day. Yeah, question 6. Who was the shortest ever serving English manager?
Allardyce.
Correct. From July to September 2016.
3-1-0. I'm not cheating.
3.
Your speed's gone up, you know, and you've never been Usain Bolt.
Because I need. All right, come on, Jay, hurry up.
How many left, Jay?
3. Jesus. Question 7.
No, there's 4 if it's question 7.
There's 4 left. career path. I have played for Sheffield United, Northampton on loan, Tottenham, Sheffield United on loan, QPR loan, Aston Villa loan, Manchester City.
What?
Sheffield United, Northampton loan.
Kyle Walker.
Yep. Correct.
I hate international football.
Yes, Fozzie. 4-1-0.
You're flying, mate, today.
You need to get every one of these. You're a nil, by the way. You're so bad. You're the shittest
quiz ever. I've had a quiet weekend this weekend.
You're so bad.
You're having a quiet quiz.
Quizmaster.
Yeah, absolutely. We might have to change it up. Jay, do you want to come here next week?
Oh, God.
I don't think I'll be any better, to be honest. Kyle Walker scored his first England goal versus Ukraine on Saturday, and it's the longest time anyone's done that.
From their debut to scoring?
From their debut to scoring,
nice,
yeah.
I like it, Jake.
Like
good stat.
75 appearances,
good
yeah.
stat.
Question 8. Ukraine manager, Sergei Rebrov. I think I butchered that.
Yeah.
I think, has played for two Premier
Spurs.
League
Cut on him!
I said Spurs first.
Can you name one? Spurs was one of them.
Yeah. That's pathetic.
Goldridge.
See, if it's not, if it's Premier League, I win. This international shit.
4-2-0.
What's the other
Yeah,
club?
But it's, I know it's international, PPR. But it's still players that you should
Fulham.
Know.
What was the other club?
Some guy, Rebrov.
Tottenham and...
Fulham.
No. West Ham.
I knew it'd be a London.
Yeah. Oh. Spurs 2000.
They spent a lot of money on it. It was about 11 mil back in the day, it was, you know.
60 appearances, 10 goals for Tottenham. And that's for West bad. Ham, yeah. 2004 to 2005, 27 appearances and one goal.
Yeah. That's shit.
Yeah.
It'd be worth 50 million, though.
Question 9. Who did England beat to win their first penalty shootout at the World Cup?
Colombia.
Correct. It was in the Russia 2018 World Cup. What's
the
score?
4-3.
4-3 now. Oh, I don't know.
I hope I get one. I hope I get
just
one.
Jump in.
I hope I get one.
Jump in the pool with the piranhas and I'll take my time. Yeah. Just go quick.
Just want one
Question
to get
Question 10.
10? Oh, come on, get this and just... Oh, no, I'm best.
Then wins if you get it right.
Oh, no, yeah.
Which team knocked England out of the 2022 Qatar World Cup?
France.
Correct.
Yes! Utah.
England.
I've never played in Utah.
He said Utah, the Utah World Cup.
That's what threw me.
They never played there, mate. Come on.
You owe us 100 quid each, by the way. That's a whitewash. He got zero.
Twice.
Thank you.
He got zero last time as well.
You Thank behave you, yourself today.
Only yeah. wins on international breaks. The South
needed
Gate
that.
Quizzes.
I needed that. I'm gonna. I've got a golf day today, everybody, and I'm gonna win it. I know it because I'm buoyant now. All right, I'm buoyant.
Yeah.
You playing in your Chelsea shirt?
No, I've got a. No, don't worry, my outfit will be impeccable. I promise you.
Pro-Am Wednesday video.
Oh yeah. By the way, I played in the BMW PGA Championship on Wednesday at Wentworth. Pro-Am, I played with Tyrrell Hatton, Theo Walcott, Gaz Beadle. We only went and won the thing, didn't we? On the Golfing GK this week, it's dropping. I made a vlog of the whole thing. It is absolutely banging. I played some unbelievable shots and some horrible stinkers at the same time. But I had a lovely day. And Tyrrell Hatton nearly won as well, by the way. He came second. Ryan Fox got a birdie on the other team. Don't worry about it. I'll see you all soon. That's Football Fill-In. See you guys.